merely by intention and thought, how difficult it would be to communicate such powerful emotion on the physical level. I ventured into the town center, by which time I had adapted to my surroundings and was clearly visible to other people. Looking around, trying to find familiar features, I felt slightly disappointed that this town was not much different to any town on Earth. The atmosphere, however, appeared to be less intense. When I came to a lady running a large sweet stall, I decided to strike up a conversation. "Can I try one of your lovely looking chocolates?" I asked.
"Please help yourself," she replied.
"What about money?" I asked. She laughed and replied,
"All you have to do is ask. That is all the payment I need."
I inquired whether she had marzipan. She pointed to a large tray and said, "They are over there." I took a piece of chocolate-covered marzipan. It wasn't anything special, but not bad either. With a heartfelt thank you, I departed and decided to explore this level a little further. As I moved through the town, I noticed that some of the houses looked rather neglected. One district I strived into looked decidedly bleak. Other parts were much more friendly, with restaurants, shops and pubs. I was surprised by the fact that the nice and not so nice parts of the town were not that far apart, just like on Earth, another sign that this dimension was clearly very closely linked to our physical world. People were socializing in the streets. Although the atmosphere was very Earth-like, it was also quite different. There seemed to be more interaction between the people than on Earth, and there was a rather more lethargic attitude to the place. Yet so far I had not come across anything that would make this town a particularly attractive place to live. I addressed a lady who appeared to be in her late 30s.
"How long have you lived here?"
"For ages," she replied.
"Do you like it here?"
I said. "If I do get a bit bored sometimes, but I don't know where else to /settle. It's not the most exciting place." As I looked around, I felt I had to agree with her. This was a drab little place. I decided it was best to leave and wondered what method I could use to get into a higher, more pleasant and interesting dimension. I recalled that in the past I had achieved this by entering a building and rising to underneath the roof and going through it. I was well aware of the fact that this was a psychological crutch, a technique using visualization and not the best or most learned way to go about achieving my aim, but I had no better idea what those better means, certainly an alternative, but this, were. Meditation and chanting was usually brought unexpected results. I entered a large empty house and did what I had done before and floated up towards the ceiling. Having pushed myself though, I found myself in another room. The room was much brighter, with a clean white carpet embroidered with an ornate golden pattern. The walls changed as I looked at them, and to my great disappointment the beauty of the room faded until I found myself standing in just another drab and ordinary room. I considered whether I should call for help to raise me to a higher dimensional level, but decided instead to leave the room via a door leading into a long hall. When I opened the door at the far end of the hall, I walked onto the roof of a large multi-story building, like a huge block of flats. The building was empty, neglected and needing attention. Litter was scattered everywhere. I made a huge jump to an adjacent building at least 10 meters away. This building looked much better kept, and I was welcomed by a girl in her late teens. Although she looked young, her demeanor was that of a much older woman.
"Hi," I greeted her.
Then I asked straight out, "How old were you when you died?" I felt it was unnecessary to introduce myself, as she had already sized me up.
"I was 85," she answered.
"So you are really a little old lady," I said, smiling affectionately.
"I suppose I am," she said charmingly.
I warmed to her immediately. She was little more than 5 feet tall, very pretty, with shortish curly blonde hair. She had warmth and kindness in her eyes.
"Do you live here on your own?"
I wanted to know.
"No, I have a friend who used to be a history teacher.
His name is Arthur. He hasn't been here a very long time. I saw a man in his early 40s waving to us.
He was a little full around his waist, but had a friendly smile. He came over and shook hands with me. There was something about his personality and the way he spoke that I found distinctly uninspiring. I had the feeling that if I stayed I would get bored very quickly and so sought an excuse to leave. He must have felt my discomfort. 128, he said. I must show you something very interesting. I have discovered a way of teaching children history in a very fascinating way. He opened a book with nice illustrations of an ancient Greek scene. He told me that he could manipulate the drawings with his thoughts and the pictures would move like a film. I looked at him and pointed out that back at home we called this multimedia, but I admitted that his version looked quite sophisticated. I looked on as he animated the characters in the illustrations with his thoughts and wondered whether he knew that I was an illustrator who earned his living producing 3D computer graphics and animations. I began to feel a little bit impatient with his demonstration as he moved little characters about pointlessly in his book. I apologized to the couple and told them that my time was limited and that I had to leave, but that I would come back if they wanted me to. "No, we don't," they replied to my utter astonishment. Then they both burst into a broad grin. "Of course we would like you to." "What is your name?" I asked the 85-year-old teenager. "I am Maha," she said. I asked her to repeat it several times because I had never heard such a name before and I thought I would not remember it. I gave her a gentle and warm hug, then waved goodbye to the couple and left. I descended to the main street, which was deserted. Some of the big buildings looked as if they had never been finished. I wondered whether the little old lady had lived most of her life in a block of flats, maybe in London, and I could see why, in this case, she felt comfortable living in a high-rise building. Although I knew this place was not far removed from the worldly dimension and limited in scope, she had managed to create for herself and her boyfriend a pleasant enough environment, maybe nicer even than her flat on Earth. I couldn't see any reason why someone who had lived happily all their life in a large block of flats would want to change anything after they died. As I came to a deserted square a little further down the street, I noticed that the sky had become covered in dark billowing clouds with red flashes of lightning darting through them. The whole atmosphere had taken on a rather end-of-the-world type feeling. 121 I realized that I had an increased power of awareness and an uncanny intuitive knowledge of reading what I saw. It had been a long time since I had had such an intensive, prolonged excursion through a dimension so close to our Earth's. I had knowledge without needing to think about or deduce anything. I knew that those mountainous clouds were the result of combined negative thoughts coming from the Earth, darkening the light for the people living in this region. I realized that the power of our emotions and thoughts had an effect much more pronounced than we could ever imagine. As I stared into the sky and watched the changes, I had a feeling of impending war. I imagined other visitors of this world reading them as an omen of great evil, which would befall mankind, and indeed, to my dismay, I realized I was doing the same thing. There was simply no other way of interpreting the clouds. I could read the situation like an open book. I could see anger, unrest and hostility. I was fascinated by it, but very disturbed. I decided it was time to return to my body and to purify my mind and by deepening my meditation. When I did so, I kept my eyes closed for just a few moments. Then I looked at my watch. I had spent just over an hour in the other dimension. I felt very relaxed and detached, so I decided to return. I meditated for about 10 minutes and when I became aware of my new surrounding I was on a quite different dimension. I was in the middle of a large hall surrounded by a throng in the midst of organizing a great party, a massive social event involving thousands of people. I thought of interviewing a woman who seemed to be one of the main organizers, but she was busy with a large group of girls rehearsing a spectacular dance routine. As a choreographer, she had her hands full. There were several age groups of people numbering hundreds. They all had her attention and I quickly worked out how she managed to organize such a massive group. All the participants had to do was to tune into her mind and surrender to her ideas, and she directed them with the same ease as a conductor directs his orchestra. It was impressive how organized. Next headline, do the dead have supermarkets? 27th of April 1976. Having achieved full waking consciousness, I found myself standing in the middle of a department store. I was amused by the fact that I could buy things. I could even steal things without having to experience the consequences. I browsed through the store, pondering what to pinch. I saw a woman sitting at a checkout desk. She was the only person staffing a till. I rummaged through my pocket and pulled out a few coins. "Can I use these?" I asked innocently, slightly amused by having unearthed coins without even thinking about it in this non-physical world. She tutted and told me that my money was of no use here. She showed me a currency I had never seen before. They resembled strange foreign coins with holes in their middle, and I wondered whether she was pulling my leg. Slightly bewildered, I said I would look around a bit more, to see what I could find. In fact, I planned to make a polite, professional and accomplished every individual dancer was and how much in tune they were with each other. In other areas, people worked together with dancers creating fascinating colorful costumes, some of them extending for several meters beyond their bodies. I could see instantly what their purpose was. When they moved in certain ways, as organized by another choreographer, they created a colossal living picture which was forever changing with new glorious and mind-blowing results. But this was not all. The individual dancers could change the colors of their costumes, even their appearance, simply by thought. I could imagine how such sophisticated art forms could inspire a future opening at our earthly Olympics. It was extraordinary how enthusiastic and dedicated the participants were and how powerful the feeling of the communal spirit conveyed itself at the heart of it all. But on the whole, despite the excitement and activity, it only served to inspire me to leave this region and move to something more sublime, but instead I returned to my body. Another hour had passed. I made tea. Not the most novel place to spend my time, disappearance. This was when out of my body. "Let me talk to the store manager and ask him if he can make an exception," she insisted. Persuaded by her quite charming demeanor and attractive appearance, I followed her through the store into a hall where we met a few young men, in their mid-twenties, perhaps. They were very friendly and we all went into a resting room next to some other offices. Looking around, I noticed that the room was not really furnished very tastefully. It was 3 to 4 meters square with whitewashed walls, like a typical staff room you may find in any office on Earth. There was a sofa and 2 armchairs. One of them even looked slightly worn. The curtains too had obviously not been given a great deal of consideration. It had the feel of a bachelor's bed, with no attention spent on its decor. I felt slightly amused that this could have been somebody's dream I had entered. Maybe the checkout girls, who would then tell her friends at work the next day, "I had such a strange dream that I was at work, but I was the only person at the checkouts and there was only one customer, trying to pay with foreign money." I thought it would be worthwhile to let events unfold and find out what it was like to be a part of somebody's dream. At the same time, I wanted to test the creative potential of dreams and to see whether I could influence the scene simply by thought. I began chatting to the other men. The atmosphere was relaxed, and we joked and laughed. I thought it was time to put thought power to the test, so I proposed we have a drink and suggested wine, which they welcomed enthusiastically. I closed my eyes and willed 2 bottles of wine, which materialized on the floor. To my utter surprise and disappointment, I found that the bottles were empty. The response was slight amusement, and I wondered whether it was easier to produce a glass of wine instead of a bottle. Instantly, a glass appeared in my hand and in the hand of one of the men, who I thought of as the shop manager. When I tasted it, I was disappointed again. It was a cheap, poor quality wine, very sweet and more like juice. I concluded that this dimension was very low, and close to the physical world. Everything here was rather substandard and poor. 124 Upon waking, I was keen to identify the physical equivalent of the place I had just visited. It felt like Shoreham Harbour, although everything had been out of alignment, the store, the harbour and the countryside, and yet I was sure that the place was Shoreham. I wondered who of the people I had met were dead, that is permanent inhabitants of that place, and who were merely dreamers, or whether it was a consensus environment, created by living people who worked in ordinary life and whose habitual thoughts and feelings had created the environment on the next dimension close to physical Earth, an ordinary world, devoid of great ambition or imagination. Would I have recognized any of the dreamers if I met them during the day? The onion skin theory of dimensions sprang to mind when I thought how places had their counterparts in other dimensions. The idea is that the close of the skin of the dimension is to Earth, which is the innermost layer. The eye asked the man holding the other glass, "Are you happy living here? Would you not prefer to live in a nicer place than this strange city?" "I think this place is all right," he answered. "Why? Where would you like to go?" "I can imagine a nice tidy little village in the country," I said. "Somewhere better than this mundane place." I noticed a real irritation in his voice when he answered me, "You probably belong to the kind of people who think they are better than everyone else." He opened the curtains and I saw that we overlooked a somewhat gloomy harbor with a few run-down ships. The water looked black. Beyond, I could see wide open country stretching out into the distance. I could see what looked like igloos made out of light surrounding habitats. As I focused my view and zoomed in, I could make out the outlines of a rather picturesque village, which was really quite attractive. Without further ado, I gave MV apologies and left through the window. I heard laughter from the people I left behind. For a moment, I sailed like a bird towards the village, flying about 200 meters above the ground. Then I noticed an uncomfortable heaviness and starting losing altitude. I sunk deeper until I took a nose dive and crashed into a ground. At that moment I opened my physical eyes. More closely it resembles its physical counterpart. Higher up, or further out, it becomes the case that many other influences work on the place until it bears no or very little resemblance to its physical counterpart. In this case, the only way to recognize a place is by its atmosphere. Very recently I visited the dimensional counterpart of Sandbanks near Bournemouth, where my wife and I had just spent a week's holiday to retrace our youth when we first met. On this dimension, Sandbanks was transformed so much that there were no physical characteristics left that allowed you to recognize it by its appearance. Perhaps the only thing the same was that it was at the sea. Instead of the densely populated area of houses, there was a very attractive mountain with many elaborate pathways up it, some half carved into the mountain with a beautiful ornate banister running along them. The most fascinating view was out towards the sea. There were numerous islands jutting out of the water, some steep mountains, others low and gentle, but all arranged in perfect symmetry. On some islands there were bright flashing orbs of light, which I soon discovered were people. There were no features left that would tell me that I was in Sandbanks, Bournemouth, and yet there was no mistaking that I was there. Next headline: Do They Know They Are Dead? 27th May 1976. I meditated from 5:30 to 6:45 in the morning. Shortly after, I nodded off to sleep and woke up in my subtle body. I got out of bed and walked to the window, but instead of looking out of the first floor window into the backyard of the house, where we lived at that time, I found myself on the ground floor overlooking a garden, which was stocked abundantly with plants and shrubs. I climbed out of the window in order to explore it, but because I was fully awake, I hesitated, wondering what people might think seeing me climb out of the window. There was a moment when I wasn't quite sure whether or not I might actually be in my physical body. But when I landed softly, like a feather, on the ground, I realized that I was in another dimension. This world was quite different to what I was accustomed to. I delighted in the garden as I walked towards the gate at the far end, which led to the road. 126. My first thought was that I must have been on a lower dimension, close to physical level. I saw people riding bicycles and driving cars along the road. This was clearly a world where people continued their habits of physical life. I followed the road for 20 meters until I came to a T-junction. I turned right at an old building. Three children were playing in the street. A rather mischievous boy teased a girl of about 7, for whom I felt very sorry. She seemed to have some kind of skin disease. I wondered what children were doing on this rather average, earth-like place. If they were dead children, I felt they surely belonged to a nicer place on grounds of their relative innocence. I felt rather puzzled about the harshness of this life, where children appeared to be suffering diseases and the little tortures of everyday life. But I realized they might, of course, just be dreaming children. I then felt a strong gust of wind and I wondered about the nature of weather and why it should be here and whether it served a purpose. What kind of energy was wind and what brought it about? In some way, I didn't expect the physicality of this plane to be as I experienced it on Earth. As I continued along the street, I rather playfully jumped onto a low wall where I continued my walk. The cars going past rather annoyed me and I was disappointed by how closely this place resembled physical Earth. Almost in every detail it seemed to echo our physicalness. I even saw fallen leaves drifting about in a mundane, earth-like way. Some of the grass had lost its freshness and looked dry. I yearned for some unspoiled nature, some other dimensional heaven, rather than this dull copy of Earth. Fortunately, as I walked further, I could see meadows and a forest in the distance. Just then a woman passed by on a bicycle. She said hello to me, and I thought it was a good opportunity to talk to one of the inhabitants and to find out a little more about their world. I ran to catch up with her. I was amazed at my feather steps and the tremendous speed I gathered so quickly. She noticed me and turned round, giggled, and increased her speed. When I stopped pursuing her, she stopped too, turned round and gave me a broad, mischievous smile. To my surprise, she then echoed my thoughts, saying that she too wanted to get away from the town and go into the forest. She continued to smile at me. I knew she was sending me up, somehow reading my thoughts, jealous. I noticed sitting in the but she was very pleasant. I decided to interrogate her, but just when I opened my mouth she disappeared into thin air. I looked around, calling her, but she had gone. I felt quite disappointed. Next thing, a young man approached me. I could feel instantly and not without some amazement that he was suddenly the young woman had returned and was now grass, smirking at me. I turned towards the man. "Excuse me," I said. "Do you mind me asking you a few questions?" "Well," he said, not as friendlily as I had hoped. "Could you please tell me where we are, what kind of realm we are in?" He looked at me, almost puzzled, and gave me a name which sounded like a place. "No, no," I said. "I mean, what sort of level are we in? What level of existence? I mean, there are different worlds, different dimensions." He didn't seem to grasp my question, and other young people arrived as I was trying to explain myself. Soon there was a small group. I noticed some wore ordinary t-shirts. I tried to explain that there is Earth, and then there are places where people go after they have died, and that this was one of those places. "Who is he?" someone asked. I introduced myself. "I am only a temporary visitor from Earth," I said. They looked at me as if I was some loony who had escaped from a mental asylum. To my relief, one of the boys came forward and asked where I thought I was. But then the rest of the group crowded him out until he was pushed to one side. I explained to them that this is not the only place they could live, that there were much nicer spots, places filled with light and lush green fields. Did they know that they were dead, and had they ever considered the fact that things were quite different to what they were used to? I persisted in telling them that there were nicer places than this that they could visit if they wanted, which were much brighter, happier and cheerful. My words started a discussion among them. I left them to sort out their thoughts and walked around the debating group until I got to the young man they had pushed out. I held him softly by the arm. I felt very warm and compassionate towards him, and he responded to me. Somehow he knew what I was talking about, and he smiled. I had the distinct feeling that none of the other people here had yet realized that place. What if there is Earth alternative? Next headline, Tourists Among the Dead. 11th of July 1976, a night out in the fifth dimension of Bournemouth. This was probably my longest and most vivid experience in another dimension to date. It was so intense and profound that I wished I could have had breaks in order to note down all of the detail of this extraordinary journey into the higher dimension. I remember leaving my bod shortly after going to sleep at about midnight. For the whole night, at least 6 hours, I went about the town, and a number of other they had died and that all of them had taken their new condition for granted, like anyone would accept their new life in new conditions. Then I felt eye dryness in my mouth and had a funny feeling as if my teeth were stuck together. I returned to my body. I thought a lot about this experience afterwards. Does everybody know after they have died that they are dead? Is there always an automatic reception on the other side, as I have read about? Relatives and friends who come to welcome you and introduce you to your new isn't he? The dimension I visited was not that different from our dimension. What if people just die and find themselves in an universe, hardly noticing the difference and adjusting just as they would if he moved to another town? Would they not get accustomed to it in the same way? So what if they can fly or travel faster? People can adapt to anything. We cannot explain everything in life. We can't explain some of the most ordinary things, such as what we are and why we are here. If we can't find any answers, we just accept it. And why not accept the fact that we can disappear and reappear in another place? Did they suffer some form of amnesia, where they couldn't remember their Earth life, only this one? May I perhaps have assumed that their Earth life was just a dream and now they had returned to their real life? I recalled the incredible ease with which I crossed over into other dimensions at times, and having to test whether it was physical or not as a result. I wondered whether nature is really concerned with making sure that we are looked after once we reach the other side, or if it just leaves us to our own devices. 129 An even more powerful way of creating comes about with passionate thought. It is like supercharging an engine. Desire seems to be the key, it places too. It was as if I had walked out of my front door and straight into another dimension. Walking along the road in Boscombe, I approached a woman and asked her where I was. She understood my question instantly and informed me without hesitation that I was on the third level, or third dimension, from the physical plane. However, the people I encountered were still very much involved in Earth-like activities, and the environment appeared to be very down to Earth, with few novel features to distinguish it from Earth. I decided to go about my visit and to adopt a somewhat scientific approach by trying to find out more about the actual nature of this dimension. Because of the extensive period I spent there, I gained valuable information and insight. My studies were conducted rationally, in the same way you would go about studying events happening on the physical level. I felt under no pressure to hurry. But there was almost too much to do, and at times I got swept away by events and was unable to imprint them on my memory and was left with only impressions of results. My first impression was that everything revolved around more or less Earth-like activities. People here, those who had been alive previously, had settled more or less into pursuing similar interests that they had when alive, but with the added pleasures that leisure has to offer when you have enhanced abilities to fulfill your desires. These people were able to create very agreeable environments. I conducted my own experiments of creative thought. It appeared that the power of my thoughts was much more in evidence here than on the level closer to planet Earth, meaning that I could influence objects and events by thought much more easily than when I tried my wine stunt in the supermarket. I also made the curious discovery that our intentional thought was less powerful than thought arising naturally out of expectation.